We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Her daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you didn't mess around and let the NBA preseason sneak up on you, because it's arrived here in Memphis. Guess who's playing basketball tonight? The Memphis Grizzlies, inside FedEx Forum. The reigning world champions are in town, but almost none of the players who were responsible for making Milwaukee the 2021 NBA champion, almost none of them are going to be on the court tonight. So they will be Bucks in name only, but the Milwaukee Bucks are in town. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 425, Tim Bontemps going to join me. Covers the NBA for ESPN. I'll talk to him about a number of things, including, obviously, the Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia, the Kyrie Irving situation in Brooklyn. Tim Bontemps going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 444, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Jacksonville's owner described Urban Meyer's behavior this past weekend as, quote, inexcusable, but indicated he will remain the coach of the Jaguars. I'll spend a few minutes on that story around 444. Sage Steele said a bunch of wild stuff. Woo! On Jay Cutler's podcast. Probably should have just skipped that. So now she's been pulled off SportsCenter, and she's also been replaced as the host of the ESPNW Sports Summit, which is scheduled for later this month. Turns out if you trash women journalists, ESPN's not going to let you host a ESPNW Sports Summit. Makes sense to me. I'll give you the details on that story a little later on this hour. The fifth edition of The Match will be played the day after Thanksgiving in Las Vegas. It'll be one versus one. Brooks Koepka against Bryson DeChambeau. So that'll be fun. I'll tell you more about it just before 5 o'clock. And Brian Laundrie's sister went on Good Morning America this morning and said she doesn't know if her parents helped her brother evade the FBI, and also indicated she's no longer speaking to her parents. So that's interesting. We'll get into that during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do Dinner to Go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA, because the NBA is returning to FedEx Forum tonight. It's Grizzlies Bucks in downtown Memphis. It'll be the first game Milwaukee has played since it won the NBA title on July 20th, courtesy of a 105-98 victory over the Phoenix Suns. You know, I went back and looked at it earlier today. It's still wild how that series unfolded. The Suns won game one by 13 points, won game two by 10 points. So Phoenix opened that series, the NBA Finals, up 2-0 with a pair of double-digit wins. And there were analysts on ESPN talking about the series is over. Obviously, it was not. But that's how over it kind of felt in the moment. Not just because the Suns went up 2-0, but also because Milwaukee was having real trouble guarding Chris Paul in pick and rolls. And the assessment, according to most, was if they don't do something drastically different, they're not going to make it out of this series. Obviously, a variety of things led to that series shifting in a major way. And then it went Bucks, game three winners by 20. Then they won game four by six, game five by four, game six by seven, series over. They were NBA champions. They won games three, four, five, six after dropping games one and two. They were NBA champions. Giannis was named the finals MVP, and now the Bucks are going to attempt a repeat with their first game of the preseason happening here in Memphis inside FedEx Forum. Tip is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Jessica Benson had the pregame at 6:30. Then Eric Hasseltine on the call right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. And if you listen, let me tell you some names you're never going to hear Eric Hasseltine mention as players in tonight's game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's out. Chris Middleton, he's out. Drew Holiday, also out. Rodney Hood, also out. Dante DiVincenzo, out. Shimi Ogile, out. Bobby Portis, out. So the Bucks are the Bucks.
Okay.
In name only. They will look nothing like the team that won the championship in July. And that's why the Grizzlies are tonight, Big Bet Bennett, 5.5-point favorites. I know you've like the Grizzlies are missing Dylan Brooks, but like the other four starters are available, and the Bucks got nobody. We're laying points tonight, I think.
Oh, we're laying points. Although I'm a little nervous that the Grizzlies might see this development and think, we'll put our guys out there for a second. Like, let's just see how it looks for a minute.
Well, the Grizzlies and Bucks are obviously in two totally different places. And, yeah, I don't think you've got to run Ja Morant out there 30 minutes or Jaren Jackson Jr. 30 minutes. But you do want to use these preseason games, if you're the Grizzlies, to, I think especially with Jaren, try to get him into a rhythm. You know, we're not telling secrets here. He came back last season after being away longer than most initially anticipated, and he wasn't very good. He never seemed never seemed to get comfortable, never seemed to be in rhythm, and that was understandable on some level. He had missed a lot of basketball. But if the explanation for his less than great play as the season concluded last season was he didn't have enough time to ramp up. He never got comfortable with his teammates. He never got comfortable in his role. Whatever the explanation might have been, well, these preseason games are valuable for him. You're not trying to find out what Jaren Jackson Jr. is like you might be trying to find out what, you know, the last player on your bench is, who you're going to keep, who you're not going to keep, or getting Zaire Williams some minutes to try to, you know, see how far he has to go before he's ready to compete day in and day out against actual NBA players. You're not answering those types of questions with Jaren, but I do think that these preseason games are important for Jaren. You don't want him to have to spend the first 3 weeks of the season, regular season, trying to get comfortable with his teammates. Let's knock that out here in these preseason games. That way, when you're ready to go night one right in the regular season, let's go. I know you've been down at FedEx Forum today, Bennett.
I have, yes.
You seem frustrated by that.
No. I'm good. Just you've been running all over the place today.
What do you have to do at the Forum on a Tuesday afternoon?
Well, it's the first game, and so we wanted to get down there a little bit earlier today and just make sure everything's connected okay and we're all good to go. So we got down there a little bit early today.
Like, I know we've known for a while that the preseason opener for the Grizzlies would be October 5th. So, like, it's not like, oh, my God, I can't believe today's the day. But it does feel early, or like we just finished this not too long ago.
No doubt.
I mean, it was like, by definition, a shorter offseason than what you would normally get. But the idea that the Grizzlies will be inside FedEx Forum tonight, I don't know the right word for it, but it doesn't feel right. Like that it's really tonight.
No, like I'm not ready for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not that I'm not ready for it as much. Like I'll turn it on tonight, but it's just like, really? Wow. We're here. Like we're here. Oh, really? We're back to basketball season already. And you know, college basketball season will be here in about a month as well. So I guess if I'm not ready for this, I better start preparing myself for that. But it just sort of, like, I saw Brevin Knight out at the golf course earlier today. And he was like, he sort of expressed the same thing. Like, I had to remind myself, oh, tonight is the night. Like, we're ready to go tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I I'm excited, obviously. Like, I love the Grizzlies season. I still kind of stand by, and we've talked about it before, and I know it's probably never going to change, but, man, I wish the NBA would consider starting their season later. I really think it would benefit them a ton.
We've talked about it a bunch. I agree, because, first off, the preseason is just a different deal.
No one cares, and that's fine.
If you want me to be honest with you, I couldn't care less about preseason NBA games.
Right.
Any more than I care about preseason NFL games or even, you know, spring training in baseball. Like, I just don't – wait, you know, tap me on the shoulder and tell me when it's time for the games to count, and that's what I'm interested in watching. I mean, like, if you are really in the weeds on it – like, I saw some people tweeting about an NBA preseason game last night. Apparently Bones Highland played well.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a second of it. I just remember people tweeting about Bones Highland. So, like, I know some people are into it. But even seeing those tweets and people are like, ooh, Bones Highland's going to play, it never once made me even consider flipping over to that game. And I've got, I don't know where it was at, but, like, I've got NBA League Pass and all that stuff. I'm sure I could have found. I don't care. I'll just, you know, I'm trying to do some other things, watching Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I won't spend any of my time watching preseason basketball other than Grizzlies, because I feel like if I'm going to come in and talk about it the next day, I need to see at least a good portion of it with my own eyes. But I don't care. I'm not interested in it. I am ready for the regular season, but these preseason games, just like whatever. They don't, you know, and it doesn't help that, you know, on a surface level, it sounds nice. The Bucks are in town, but it's like no Giannis, no Middleton, no Drew Holiday. So what are you really watching?
If you're TNT, you got to just be like, oh, come on. I think they should have thought about that a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah, but, like, what are you going to do?
You plan these things way in advance. Right. Like, yeah.
But to your initial point about the NBA starting later, like, again, tonight's a preseason game. So if you told me I could only watch one thing, I'm watching Red Sox-Yankees instead of Grizzlies preseason. But there will be a point where the NBA season is actually started. We're playing real games that count. And you're running into Major League Baseball playoffs, World Series, and then that's obviously much less of a concern than you're running into college football Saturdays, NFL Sundays, Monday night football, Thursday night football. I mean, there are four nights of the week until middle of January where you're dealing with football. Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night cuts off at some point, but you get the point. The 4 days of the week where the NBA is overshadowed. There's just no getting around it. I don't care how much you love the NBA. It's just overshadowed by football. Football is bigger. Football is going to do better television numbers. It is why if you watch college basketball, you'll notice this every year. Early in the season, a lot of teams play games on Friday night. And you'll never see that once football season's over. Friday night games are like, it's like a MAC game on CBS Sports Network, a CUSA game on Facebook Live. But you'll see some big, big brands, Duke, Kentucky, Carolina, Kansas, playing on Fridays in November, December. You want to know why? They can't get on TV on Saturday because it's college football. And what TV executives know is that the worst college football game is going to do better from a ratings perspective than almost any college basketball game. And so you put college football on. So there's nowhere for Kentucky to play on television on a Saturday in November. So they play on a Friday. That's how much college basketball has to get out of the way of college football. So this has always been a problem for the NBA, And there have been some owners, among them the Atlanta owner, who have suggested we need to start on Christmas. Because every week we delay the start of our season is a week we gain outside of football's shadow. The further we push our start, the less amount of time we have to be overshadowed by football. And again, it's not just the NFL, it's college football as well. I thought that they would use this pandemic as an excuse, as a reason to actually do it, because you wrap up the NBA Finals this past year in July, and you could easily rationalize it by saying, we've already put our players through back-to-back unusual seasons. The first one paused and then concluded in a bubble in Orlando. Then the next one starting in advance of Christmas with a condensed schedule. And we don't want to start a third straight year under less than ideal circumstances. Those circumstances being a really short offseason relative to what they're normally used to, especially the guys who went and played in the Olympics. Let's just push it back a month or two or even three to let everybody get proper rest and development. That's the other thing. This is a topic of conversation in this market all the time as it relates to Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., young players who are considered big building pieces for this franchise. You talk about the offseason development. I mean, it's what you hear with all players. Like, what's LaMelo Ball going to look like after his first offseason? Or you go back in years past. Any promising young player. Ooh, well, now he's got the whole offseason to work on that. Well, do you realize that NBA players didn't have a normal offseason this season? It was shorter. So that offseason development that you always hope for, it might be there. But if it is there, it will be the byproduct of a shorter offseason than what they're normally used to, which again suggests that it might not be there to the degree that you'd want it to be there. So I thought that there was at least a chance the NBA would take all these bullet points and use it as an explanation, excuse, to push the start date deeper into the calendar, and now you're just working on that cycle, and so that's your new starting date. Obviously, they did not do it. So we've got preseason basketball going on in early October. Grizzlies getting started tonight inside FedEx Forum. So it'll be good to see, you know, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Dylan Brooks out, by the way, for the Grizzlies. Steven Adams for the first time in a Grizzlies uniform on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good to see it, but if you're looking for anything that looks like, replicates a regular NBA game, that's just not the reality of this. The Grizzlies will be trying to work through things to get them better prepared for the start of the season. And the Bucks, I don't even know who's playing for them, but it's not any of the guys that are going to be playing for them as they attempt to repeat and become back-to-back world champions. Either way, pregame with Jessica Benson, starting at 6:30 tonight. Eric Hasseltine will then have the call, tip a little after 7 o'clock. It's Grizzlies-Bucks preseason game number one inside FedEx Forum. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Tim Bontemps going to join me from ESPN. Steve Nash has said today that Kyrie Irving's vaccination status remains unchanged. And the Nets are practicing in New York, and he's not allowed to be there. So this is starting to eat into preparation for the season. And if Brooklyn fans were hoping this would be resolved the same way the issue in Golden State was resolved with Andrew Wiggins, well, it might be eventually, but it's not yet. I'll ask Tim Bontemps about it next. Listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces, the surprise.
Jacksonville's owner described Urban Meyer's behavior as, quote, inexcusable earlier today, but certainly indicated he will remain coach of the Jaguars. I'll get you updated on that story in the next segment. Jeff Calkins is going to be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the NBA for ESPN. It's Tim Bontemps making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Tim, they had a problem in Golden State with Andrew Wiggins because of protocols in place in San Francisco. That is now resolved. Andrew Wiggins is going to be a vaccinated NBA player, whether he wants to or not. Now all eyes are on Kyrie Irving, and it is being reported that he missed practice today because he's not allowed to practice in New York City. How is this ultimately going to get resolved, do you think?
It's a great question, Gary, and I don't really know where this is going to go, frankly, because, you know, now that we're into the point where Kyrie's missing practices, and as of Friday, he'll, you know, start missing preseason games, and in a couple weeks, he'll start missing regular season games. You know, it's really just up to him whether he decides he wants to get a shot or not. And until he does, this is the situation the Nets are going to be in, and this is the situation that he's going to be in and that the league is going to be in. And as you know, with as much attention as going to be on this Nets team, obviously they're the favorites to win the championship this year. You know, Kyrie's one of the best players in the league. There's certainly going to be a lot of attention on it. And as long as this remains an unresolved issue for the Nets, you know, it's going to be one of the biggest stories in the NBA, without question.
Kevin Durant has said that, you know, he supports Kyrie Irving, and Steve Nash has echoed that, and James Harden as well. Do you think that's true, that they actually support him? Because, and perhaps I'm just projecting here, but there is no scenario in the world where I would move to New York to play for Brooklyn based on the idea that this guy's going to help me get a championship, and now he's at risk of missing half of our home games because he refuses to get vaccinated for reasons that are nonsensical to most serious people. Do you believe Steve Nash and Kevin Durant when they suggest that they are understanding of Kyrie Irving's circumstances?
I mean, honestly, I can't really answer that question, Gary, because, I mean, it's impossible to know. But yeah. I think the fact that, and I'm not questioning for asking it, but the fact that you're even asking the question, it sort of just sums up the situation that these guys are in, right? Like, this is going to be what happens all season long. Every time anything comes up with the Nets, or anytime they play a home game, or anytime they have a home practice, it's going to be, oh, Kyrie is not on the court. Oh, Kyrie is not available. Kyrie will miss this many games until the Nets go on the road again. Then he'll be available again, right? It's going to be a story every single day until it gets resolved. And it's different than the Ben Simmons situation, which I'm sure we'll get to, in that, you know, yes, the Ben Simmons situation is kind of hanging over the Sixers, but he's not there, and he's never going to be there, at least as of today, right? So it's sort of an out of sight, out of mind thing. Whereas with this Kyrie thing, he's going to be out of sight until they go on the road. Then he's going to be back in sight again and on the court, right? So like that dissonance of him like being in and out of the lineup and in and out of availability, it's just going to make this never go away. And anytime, you know, they get on a bit of a run with him playing or without him playing, it's going to be like, well, do the Nets need Kyrie? Do they not need Kyrie? It's just never going to go away. So whether they're okay with it or not, I mean, the truth of it is, this story is just going to overwhelm everything that goes on with them until they get some sort of resolution one way or the other.
You referenced the Ben Simmons situation in Philadelphia. They've got a problem there that they need to solve. Brooklyn has a problem with Kyrie that needs to be solved. Is there any thought that perhaps those two franchises could get together on a package that swaps Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving? Because in Philadelphia, of course, Kyrie Irving would be allowed, unvaccinated, to still play in home games.
Well, I mean, listen, that's that's certainly a talk radio dream, right? If Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving get traded for each other. But at the same time, you know, I think at this point it's a little too early to say any of that kind of stuff. And ultimately, you know, while Kyrie is missing preseason and regular season games, he's going to be out. You know, he could come back and play in another couple of weeks. So I would imagine the Nets would first try to work on this for a while, and hopefully, you know, from both the health standpoint and getting him on the court standpoint, they can get him a vaccine shot and he can play. So, you know, it is certainly going to be a topic that comes up, probably, the two of them getting swapped. But, you know, I think at this point that's more of a fantasy basketball trade than it is a, you know, a one that's got a chance of happening in real life.
Talking to Tim Bontips from ESPN, how much, if at all, is this a problem for the NBA? You're getting ready to start a season. LeBron, AD, Russell Westbrook, all healthy in Los Angeles. LeBron trying to get another championship. You've got a super mm-hmm. team in Brooklyn. You've got Giannis mm-hmm. and the Bucks as the reigning world champions. And yet every mm-hmm. headline is about an unvaccinated player or about Ben Simmons. On one hand, it keeps you in the news. On the other hand, the conversations most people are having about the NBA right now have nothing to do with basketball.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, right? I mean, obviously, it would be better if people were talking about basketball. But here's what I'd say, Gary. I mean, I grew up near Buffalo, right? And if you remember, in the weeks leading up to the NFL season, there was a lot of talk about Cole Beasley saying stuff about the vaccine, right? And the Bills and the Vikings. You know, Kirk Cousins was, I don't know if he said he was unvaccinated or wouldn't comment on or whatever, but there were a bunch of NFL players, Carson Wentz, who wouldn't, you know, either wouldn't say they were vaccinated or talked about that stuff, right? And that was a story in the preseason. And then when we got to the start of the regular season, what happened? People started talking about the games, right? And so while these stories will continue to be stories, because in Kyrie's case, it will impact his availability on the court. And in Ben Simmons' case, he is not going to be on the court. I think once we get to regular season games and we could talk about, you know, LeBron James and Russell Westbrook playing together, or we could talk about, you know, what I think is going to be a really interesting Bulls team this year, or whether the Knicks can be good again, or whether, you know, Utah can bounce back from their disastrous playoff loss, or what the Warriors look like with Steph back and eventually when they get Klay Thompson back on the court. It's, when we get into all these different stories about the actual games, I think we'll move past this stuff, because right now, what is there to talk about? Nobody cares about preseason games. And so really the only news is what's going on with Ben Simmons and what's going on with Kyrie Irving. And until 2 days ago, what's going on with Andrew Wiggins, right? So I think this is just a natural process of, until there's other news to talk about, this is going to take up all the oxygen in the room. And while, like you said, it certainly isn't great for the NBA, I think in 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks from tonight, the Nets are playing the Bucks, and I believe the Warriors are playing the Clippers or the Warriors are playing the Lakers. I'm trying to look this up quick while we're talking. If we get to opening night, I suspect that the next day, it's Warriors, Lakers, and Nets, Bucks. Do you think we're going to be talking about Ben Simmons on Wednesday, or are we going to be talking about those two games? I have a feeling we're going to be talking about how those two games went the next day. And I think once we get into the regular season, that will just naturally take up a lot more of the conversation.
One last thing on Ben Simmons. Philadelphia has certainly indicated they intend to withhold salary and fine him in whatever ways they are allowed by the CBA. Ben has already made a lot of money, but he is leaving a lot of money on the table. Can you imagine a scenario where he buckles and shows up, even if he's a pain while he's there? Just, hey, I'm here at work. Make sure you make my direct deposit.
Well, listen, Gary, I wrote a story about this Bobby March yesterday. Starting last night with the Raptors-Sixers game in Toronto, Ben Simmons is going to lose about $360,000 per game that he sits out because of this holdout, right? So for the four preseason games that the Sixers play, he's going to lose $1.4 million. So do I know that that's going to get him back? No. Do I think that outside of a trade, the only way that he's going to probably get back is if he decides he's lost a bunch of money and doesn't want to lose any more? Yes. I would say that's probably the only way this changes from his current position, right? So it certainly is a cudgel that the Sixers have, and they've set this money in escrow, and they're going to take out the money from there and until they trade him or until he comes back. And, you know, certainly I think that's the one way that this could resolve in a way besides him just leaving in a trade. But, you know, to this point, he's been pretty steadfast that he's going to stay away. And, you know, as these you know, as these game checks start to accumulate, I think that's probably the way this is going to stay, and it's just going to keep, you know, adding up. But certainly I do think if there is a way that this goes beyond him just being traded and that's how this ends, I do think it's that, you know, the money going away eventually causes him to change his mind and come back.
Talking to Tim Bontips from ESPN, I do want to ask you about the Grizzlies. They are inside FedEx Forum tonight. The Bucks are in town. Almost nobody.
I was waiting for a Grizzlies question. We're 10 minutes in.
Almost nobody from Milwaukee will be playing tonight, but it'll still be nice to see Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. In uniform. A topic of conversation here, not every day, all day long, but certainly is Jaren Jackson's rookie extension. They have not been able to agree on one yet. On one hand, he's had injury problems, so you don't want to max him out. On the other hand, if you're Jaren Jackson Jr., NBA general managers just voted you as a likely candidate to have a breakout season, and you probably don't want to sign anything less than a max deal if people actually think you're about to have a breakout season, because that's when the max deal would come. How do you balance those things, and do you expect something to get worked out?
Well, it's funny you say that, Gary, because I was looking at that survey this morning, and I got to the Jaren Jackson part, and I started laughing only because I was thinking of Zach Lyman and the rest of the Grizzlies front office reading that, going, man, this is probably not what we needed, right? And that's not to say that they – I mean, look, obviously Memphis is banking on Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. being the pillars of a elite Western Conference team, right? That's the goal. So certainly they'll be thrilled if Jaren has a breakout season, like you said. But at the same time, if you're in the middle of a contract negotiation – that's the kind of thing that you don't really want your guy you're trying to maybe sign for a little less money than he would want to say, oh, hey, by the way, people think I'm going to have a great season. I could probably get a max next summer. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. So to go back to your original question, Jaren's contract negotiations to me has been the most fascinating of these rookie extensions, because you go through them, right, and you know, Luka got a max and Trey got a max and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got a max and Michael Porter got a max. Most of those guys, you kind of knew going in, like, they were going to get max deals, right? Jaren has the ability to be a max player, but to your point, he's missed so many games over these past couple of years with these various injuries that he's had that, you know, there is some concern that, you know, for especially for a small market, do you want to lock in on a max deal or close to it on a guy who, while he's supremely talented, hasn't been able to stay on the court? And so I think that's where a bit of the negotiation comes in as to where this is going to go. My guess, if I had to guess, I would guess that the deal eventually does get done because the Grizzlies do view him as a core piece there, and I think if they can find a way to get it done, they will. But the contract negotiations there will be really, really interesting to see what they look like because, you know, will there be some injury stuff in there? Will there be some incentive stuff in there? What will the actual number be? It's going to be very interesting to see. But, you know, certainly from a Grizzly fan perspective, I think if this season ends and the GMs are right about the Jaren Jackson part of that survey, whether he signs an extension now or he gets signed next summer, I think ultimately that's the thing that if I'm a Grizzlies fan, that's what I should really focus on. Because one way or the other, Jaren's going to be with the Grizzlies for a long time. And if he plays as well as that survey indicated that GMs around the league think he can, pairing a Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. is about as good as any team in the league is going to have.
Wrapping up here with Tim Bontips from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go. Zach Kleiman, who you mentioned, said at Media Day, unprompted really, that he believes Ja Morant is going to be an all-star in this third season. Is that a reasonable place to set a bar for growth for the Grizzlies franchise point guard? Now is the time to break through, make your first of all-star team, and then start stringing all-star appearances and playoff appearances going forward.
Absolutely. I think it is for sure. And like, now, do I think it's a failure if Ja doesn't make the All-Star team? Absolutely not. Because, you know, look, there's only 12 All-Star spots, right? And, you know, you've got LeBron James and Luka Doncic and Anthony Davis and Steph Curry and, you know, you go and, Luka, you know, Nikola Jokic, right? You go, there's already five guys that I just said off the top of my head without even looking at the Western Conference rosters, right? So it's hard to get into that top 12 guys. But Ja Morant is, you know, there's probably not a bigger fan of his in media than me as a player. I think he's just absolutely fantastic to watch, as we've talked about on the show before. I mean, he's everything you want in a player. He's incredibly exciting to watch. He has said, I mean, I love his personality. He's the kind of guy that if I'm a fan of his team, I just think he's the greatest, right? He's not afraid of anybody. He takes on all comers. He wants to be the guy, wants to lead the team. He's everything you could ask for in a player. And he's a hell of a talent, too. So Look, if you tell me that Jaren's an all-star in February, or Ja, I should say, I won't be surprised in the slightest. And, you know, I think Donovan Mitchell made the All-Star team in his third year. Jason Tatum made the All-Star team in his third year. You know, I certainly think Ja has every ability to make the All-Star team in his third year this season, as long as he stays healthy and, you know, doesn't like try to dunk on somebody and fall down and tweak his ankle or something. Because that's the only thing when I watch him play, half the time I'm watching through my fingers because I'm afraid he's going to, like, land and bust something just because of how aggressive and explosive he is trying to go to the rim. So, yeah, I think health permitting, there's no ceiling on his talent to me. And, you know, like I said, I think if, you know, and John Jaren, if those two guys could stay on the court, they're a perfect fit stylistically together. And, you know, they've got a chance to be a really elite duo in the West. And, you know, they're the kind of building blocks that, you know, in theory should be like Mike and Mark were for a long time and have the Grizzlies, you know, if not this year, but soon, you know, right back in the mix to be a top four team in the West for a long time.
That is Tim Bontemps from ESPN. Make sure you're reading him, ESPN.com. He's on Twitter at Tim Bontemps. Brother, I always appreciate you. Thank you for being here.
Anytime, GP. Take care, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, I'll see you. That's Tim Bontemps from ESPN. When we come back, Jacksonville's owner released a statement today describing Urban Meyer's behavior in that bar as, quote, inexcusable, but certainly indicated that Urban Meyer is going to remain Jacksonville's coach. This comes a day after multiple ESPN personalities, including Marcus Spears, said live on television that Urban Meyer should be fired. I'll get you updated on that story next. You listen. Gary Parrish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, now they got me wanna rap again. Heal the wound and then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
Are you rap? Sound like me, can't tell who is who. You got no real identity, can't tell you from you. Price went up,
yeah.
Angel investor,
yeah.
Price went up.
Jeff Calkins gonna join me a little after 5 o'clock. He's award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. I'll chop it up with him in the next segment, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 4:44. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Jaguars owner Shaq Khan issued a public reprimand of Coach Urban Meyer because of Meyer's behavior over the weekend. The statement begins this way. Quote, I have addressed this matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect, and that will require a personal commitment from Urban to everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver. That's a statement from Jacksonville's owner earlier today. This comes a day after multiple ESPN personalities, including Marcus Spears, said Urban Meyer needs to be fired. Would you fire Urban Meyer, Bennett?
Probably not. Probably not. Again, what he did, like, we can say what we want, like, our thoughts on what he did. Is it despicable? That's fine, but he didn't do anything illegal. You know, it's a bad look, but he's not breaking any laws, any rules here. So I don't know. It's a bad look for his team, and if he loses the locker room, sure. And it appears that could be the case.
Right.
But as far as just, like, here's what he did, should we fire him for what he did? No.
Yeah, that video is problematic. He clearly was doing something he should not have been doing. But it's not like the young blonde in the video has released a statement saying I was assaulted by Urban Meyer.
No.
Or he touched me inappropriately. If that were the case, he might have some real problems.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Whatever was happening between Urban Meyer and this young woman was consensual. And what appeared to be happening is he was playing with her butt.
Yep.
He's playing with her butt.
That's accurate.
Which, by the way, is why you can't say what he said yesterday. Like, that's another part of this. I saw some other people make this point. Like, how... Because people have had a not great opinion of Urban Meyer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people who... I'll keep this vague. But who used to work on a lot of Urban Meyer broadcast. And he was their least favorite person. And it wasn't because of the way he treated them, but they were like, that guy's not who he presents himself to be. And I was like, what do you mean exactly? It was just like, kind of a scumbag. And I'm like, oh, expand, please. It was just like, you know, just, I'm not a fan. And these are people who were around him and around the people around him and just didn't really thought that the way he speaks publicly about himself and the program he runs didn't really jive with reality, which, by the way, has been proven to be the case at Florida, Ohio State, and now he's got this issue in Jacksonville. But the point I've seen some people make is you've got to be, I'm not smart enough to analyze it completely, but like, I understand trying to lie to get out of trouble. I've done that. But when there's video of you doing what you were doing, you can't really stand in front of the country yesterday, which is what he did, and portray a set of circumstances that just don't line up with what we're all watching.
Right.
His story is that I was at dinner with a bunch of friends. And, you know, they want to pop into the bar next door. Sure, I'll go. And find myself in a stupid situation. People were trying to pull me out on the dance floor. I should have just left. The way he described that situation was, I was just in the bar hanging out with my friends. Next thing you know, got some girls trying to pull me out on the dance floor being silly, and I should have just left. Well, that's not what that video shows. That video doesn't show anybody trying to pull him on the dance floor. That video shows him sitting down with a presumably good-looking young blonde in between his legs and his hands on her butt. That's what the video shows. You got to be aware of what the video shows before you start talking about it publicly. And if you were aware of what the video shows, which I'm assuming had to be the case, how do you get up there and just lie like that when there's video?
Right. No,
that's just, that's I'm always fascinated by people who will, maybe not fascinated, troubled, by people who will tell you a story that they have to know you know isn't true. Like when you hear somebody tell a story and you're like, this person has to know that I know this story that they're telling is not true, but they're still trying to tell it. What makes somebody do that? Like it's an interesting thing to me. I want to be clear. I'm not talking about somebody who tries to, lie about something. You know, if Bennett asked me what I did last night.
What'd you do last night?
Went to bed at 8 o'clock. That's a lie. I did not go to bed at 8 o'clock.
I was going to say, that's not like you.
But you have no way to, I didn't tweet anything late at night. You have no way of knowing whether I really went to bed at 8 o'clock at night last night or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have no way of knowing. So I could tell you I went to bed at 8 o'clock. It's a total lie, but you're none the wiser. You don't know. Like that's a, not that I would lie about what time I went to bed, but that's like, I can get away with that one.
Right.
But Urban Meyer trying to say, yeah, I was in this bar and these girls were pulling me out on the dance floor and I should have just left. Now it looks all silly and stupid. Hey, what? That's not what's on that video, bro. What I see on that video is a 57-year-old drunk man at best flirting with a young blonde, at worst, like, fondling a young blonde. Either one's not good, obviously. But the idea that he tried to trot out that story yesterday that didn't line up with the video is just kind of weird. But to be clear, I wouldn't fire him for that. You get in the business of firing men or women who maybe act inappropriately while out in public. Well, you're going to be firing a lot of people.
Yes.
That's not a fireable offense. That's something Urban needs to work out with Shelley.
Now, the Jaguars or what the owner Khan's saying is that he lied about what he was doing, that he was supposed to be with the team, and he said, I got to leave to go be with my family. And so that's why they're angry with him, apparently.
Well, I saw some people trying to nitpick this earlier today in ways that I do think is kind of nitpicking. What Urban said yesterday was, I stayed in Ohio to see the grandchildren, and then we all went to dinner. Well, some people have been like, well, he didn't go to dinner with his grandchildren, so he was lying. I don't think he meant he went to dinner with his grandchildren. I think he meant I stayed in Ohio to see my grandchildren. And then after I saw my grandchildren, I had some friends who wanted to go to dinner. And so we all went to dinner. And then we went to the bar next door, and that's where everything took a bad turn. So I do think he lied about what happened in that bar. But the circumstances surrounding why he was in Ohio, I don't know what he told the team. But what he said publicly yesterday, just because he didn't have his grandchildren at dinner didn't mean he didn't stay in Ohio to see his grandchildren. Like, if I go to Atlanta to see my son, and then while I'm in Atlanta, I also go to dinner with three friends who live in Atlanta, that doesn't mean I was lying about why I went to Atlanta. If my son didn't go to dinner with me with these other people, I went to Atlanta for this reason. And then I did some other things. I feel like I can buy that. Urban Meyer went, stayed in Ohio for a reason and then did some other things. And the other things, obviously embarrassing. It's stuff that he and his wife probably have to work through if they choose to. But it's not a fireable offense. What is an issue, though, is if he's lost that locker room, they just don't believe in him anymore. Because what is also true is most NFL coaches, after a loss that leads you to an 0-4 start, they're not taking a day off, even if they play on Thursday night. They're going to be back in the office on Friday, taking advantage of these extra days to try to get this thing turned in a different direction. So what he did is very much what a college coach might do. Hey, I'm going to stay behind, recruit a little bit. I'll meet you guys back 2 days from now. That's not really what an NFL coach does. And if his players have lost respect, why aren't you here with us, grinding with us? Why are you constantly telling us, don't embarrass yourself, and then you're out there embarrassing yourself? Like, these are real locker room issues that I think he's going to have to work through. All of the reporting suggests he's lost that locker room. And when you lose that locker room, and those guys don't believe in you, and they don't respect you, that's tough to get back.
Yeah. Well, he's got a chance to correct it this Sunday against the Titans. I think they can right the ship this weekend.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What's the biggest game tonight?
I am so sorry.
Story number two.
ESPN personality Sage Steele has been suspended for at least a week as host of SportsCenter because of various comments she made on Jay Cutler's podcast. You see this?
Yeah.
She's wild, man.
Yeah, what did Sage do?
First off, I don't know Sage still at all, but I have a lot of friends who work at ESPN.
Uh-oh.
And
let's hear it.
Way before this incident, they were like, yeah, she's kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the most popular person in Bristol. And I was like, I don't guess I really know what that means. But now I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
So you might know she was one of the ones who publicly said she did not want to get vaccinated.
Right.
But got vaccinated so that she could keep her job. She's basically the Andrew Wiggins of ESPN. But she goes on this Jay Cutler podcast, and she said their policy at ESPN, vaccine mandate, was, quote, sick and scary.
Can't really say that about your employer.
Especially.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.